Morning. Today's Daf and Erev and Daf Pei Aleph. We're in Pei Amud Beis. We're starting at the Mishnah towards the top of the Amud. We're in the seventh parak of Erev, which means that we're speaking Erev Chatzeres, and we're speaking a lot of process. We're talking about exactly how it is that we do the Erev Chatzeres. First Mishnah of the parak, which takes us back a little bit, talked about communication between two Chatzeres, where I have two courtyards that are opened up to one another. We talk about what the minimum dimension of an opening would be in order to facilitate a merger between two chatzeros. And then we went, as we got into the parak, we spoke a lot about process in terms of how exactly do I make my Erev. Now, there are two things that we are really discussing. We're talking about an Erev, we're talking about a Shituf. And as we know, basically it's the same basic idea. Its purpose is to merge and to incorporate. We want to take a community and basically unify the community. How do we do that? With food. And so the Mishnah, going back to Ayin Testament base, 79b, Kesa Mishtafim Mamavui. So how exactly do we do it? So and we discussed the Mishnah back then in terms of making sure that everybody is going to be a contributor. You can contribute on behalf of somebody else. That was a discussion that we had in yesterday's daf. You contribute on behalf of somebody else through Zach La'adam, in other words, by creating an acquisition on behalf of the other person. We spoke yesterday about transferring the bread to somebody else, or in the case of Shituf, transferring the food to somebody else. In other words, using an intermediary so that he could receive it. There was a long discussion yesterday's daf in terms of maybe either by Erev Chatzeres or by Shitufa Mavos or perhaps even by Erev Tchum, I don't need an intermediary. I don't need somebody who actually is going to receive it. But the Gemara's conclusion was very clear at the end of yesterday's daf, which is, no, all is an agreement by every type of Erev Chatzer, Erev Tchum, Shitufa Mavos, and you can even add to that list Erev Tavshilin. Every type of Erev, if you're going to transfer food to somebody else, you have to do it al yidei acher, you have to do it through the regular mechanism of kinyan. One thing that we've also pointed out a number of times already, Erev Chatzer, Shitufa, and Mavos are essentially the same. The one big difference is that by Erev Chatzer, it has to be bread. It cannot be any other food that's used for the Erev Chatzer. Shitufa, and Mavos, however, you could use basically any food you want, with the exception being water and salt, and perhaps mushrooms, but you could use whatever food you want for Shituf and Mavos. Other than what type of food you could use, it basically in terms of its goal is there to accomplish the same thing. Good. That takes us to Pei Amud Beis. We should be on Pei Aleph today. We'll get there. The Mishnah on Pei Amud Beis, HaNismayt HaOchel. So let's say the food is reduced, meaning there's a minimum amount. Now, we don't know yet what that minimum amount is. We haven't discussed that yet in the Masechta. Right, our Mishnah also doesn't talk about when exactly this happened. But this is the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah that talks about how much food do you need? Meaning, if everyone's contributing, so that could arguably be, I mean, think about now our community here in Boca. Meaning, that's a lot of Jewish people in our Eruv. Right. So, that's a lot of food. So, you would imagine, okay, let's see the Mishnah. It's my ochel, so most of them is documents are chlodia. So, the Mishnah's first point, even before telling us how much we actually need, is the Mishnah's first point is replenishment. So, can we replenish? The Mishnah basically says, of course you can replenish. And you can even add more food, and ein tzarich lahodia. And you don't have to tell the person, we're adding more food on his behalf. Meaning, we just simply add more food. Nitosva aleim, mosif umezak v'tzarich lahodia. Let's say more people move into the community. Okay? We have a new member to the community. He'll get an announcement in the shul, and also one of his first phone calls that he's going to be receiving is, hey, you know, we're going to be adding to the Erev on your behalf. Okay, so in other words, he's got to be notified. Now, I don't know, anyone moved in recently got a phone call from the shul saying, hi, you've been added to the Erev. Now, okay, so we're going to get to the Gemara. The Gemara is going to discuss, and the obvious question, which we're going to deal with later on, is why does a person need notification? Meaning, doesn't he stand to benefit from being added to the already existing Erev Chatzeres? And we have a general rule of Zach La'adam Shelo B'fanav. So why does he need notification? We'll hold that question. We're going to come back to that question. Kama hu shi'uran. So, big question. How much? How much food do you need to collect from everybody, or what's the sum total that I need from everybody? So, Bizmanche, Marubin. So, if there are a lot of people in the community, it's a funny Mishnah. meaning the Mishnah is now looking to give us like definition and give us some sort of, you know, objectification. Well, the Mishnah says, well, if you're a lot, okay, obviously we need to further clarify what that means. But Bizman Shay Marubin Mazn Shay Seudos, Lakulan. So then all I need is two meals for everybody. Meaning, so there I just need a sum total. A sum total of Shtei Seudos for everybody. However, Bizman Shay Muatim, but if there are not a lot of people, so Kigrogros, so Chalachav Echad, so the amount that needs to be collected is a Grogros for every single individual. I'm Rav Yossi Ben Medvar Mamorim B'tchilas Erev. So Rav Yossi says, that's true when we're first starting up the Erev. So the Erev at its origination point has to be, again, for a lot of people, two meals worth. For a few number of people, only a grogros for every single individual. But that's when you start up. But look, you know, it's food. In other words, then food's going to start getting moldy, going to start getting stale, whatever. Somebody, you know, you could have a... some of it's going to get diminished. So on the diminishment, as long as you have any amount, that would be okay. And remember, says the Mishnah, that the only reason why we have Erev Chatzir is so that the children do not forget. Meaning, what is the what's the Mishnah adding over here? The Mishnah is pointing out that after we made a Shitov, so really the truth of the matter is there's no need for an Erev whatsoever. Ever. We made this point already a number of times. When I make a Shitov, I'm incorporating everybody. Meaning, we are unifying all the chatzeros, together with the streets, the mavui, together with the houses. So in other words, there's a total unification. So really, after I make a shita of mavui, the whole purpose of setting up an erev really is superfluous. However, there's also an aspect of chinuch. We don't want the children growing up in our communities not ever realizing that there's such a thing called an erev. So what we do is we put up an erev in addition to the shita. And the point that Mishnah is making is that even if we have almost an entire diminishment of the Erev, but because we have the supporting Shituf, and because the Shituf is really what's unifying us, so the Erev is not, at that point in time, really necessary. As long as I have something that actually represents what once was an Erev, so that would be sufficient, and that's the point of the Mishnah. Okay, now, a number of things...
We said two meals for one person... For each member of the...
No, in other words, Bizman Shei Merubin, it's just
no,
two...
No, when they're Merubin.
Right, it's just two meals.
Two meals for everybody.
For everybody.
So that's a lot of meals, talking about.
No, no, no. Two meals total.
Total for all.
For everybody. Two meals for all. So, B'may Askina, so the Gemara says, look, in our Mishnah, we said that if there is a diminishment of the Erev, so we're going to replenish the Erev, and there's no need to tell people that we're replenishing the Erev. So, and what's clear from the Mishnah is that if there's a total diminishment of the Erev, so then I have to let the owners know, hey, we're going to be adding more food. Now, the Gemara wants to understand this. So the Gemara says, I really don't understand. If we're replenishing food, why do we have to tell them? Meaning, let's even say that it wasn't that the Erev diminished. The Erev was totally eradicated. Okay, totally consumed. Somebody ate it by accident. Just time had its effects on the Erev, whatever the case is. The Erev is no longer there. And we now, the heads of the community, want to now replenish the Erev. We really need to tell the owner? Especially if what we're going to replenish it with is the same food that was already there.
He already consented.
So why do you need to tell him? Ela b'shnei minim. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the what we're doing now is we're changing the food for the Erev. Now, if it's an Erev Chatzeros, we can't make any real radical changes because, as we learned already, it's got to be bread. So maybe the change over here is that instead of wheat bread, it goes to barley bread. We're going to learn later on that that's barley bread is acceptable. We're going to learn later on that even rice bread is acceptable. Meaning the definition of bread is a little bit looser when it comes to what's acceptable for Erev Chatzeros. So maybe that's what the Mishnah means, that we're moving breads, we're changing breads, and that's why we need a new consent form from the people living in the Chatzer. I feel that's my namilo. D'tanya kala ocha mimenachar in tzarech laudia. Mi beis min in tzarech laudia. So the Gemara says, well, if we are changing bread, so then I need a new consent form, even if it's just replenishing diminished Eruv. So really, our Mishnah seems to be in the middle of no position. Meaning, if we're talking about a replenishment of the same bread, he already handed in his consent form, it should work. And if we're changing the bread, so even if it's just a little change, but shouldn't we have to notify him? So So the Gemara says, you're right, the point is very well taken. We can learn our Mishnah either way. So first of all, it could be it's Mimenachad. And how is our Mishnah going Mimenachad? Because when our Mishnah, even though the word of the Mishnah is Nismaet, could be interpreted. I don't think the Gemara right now is looking to change the word. I think the Gemara is just simply reinterpreting. Nismaet could also mean Nismot Meit, which means totally exhausted. Meaning no longer there. The bread's no longer there, and that's why we need a new consent from the owner. Or we could say that it's shnei minim and kalashani. And if the it'd be different if the bread was totally consumed. Okay. Either way, the point of the Mishnah is that. I'm sorry, the point of the Gemara is that we could learn the Mishnah either way, that if the bread is totally gone, I do need a new consent from the owner. Okay, now, again, later on in the Gemara, in just a moment, we're going to ask the obvious question, why do I need a consent at all? Meaning, if we're talking about Eruv Echatzeros, so shouldn't it be that even without consent it would work? Okay, we'll come back to that point in just a moment. Nitosh Ralem Mosifu Mazak Amrav Shizbi Amrav Chisazos Amers Chalukin Alav Chaver Val Rav Yehuda. Did none. The Gemara is going to now note that our Mishnah here on Pamud Beis is going to be in opposition to the Mishnah which we're going to see together later on this morning. The Mishnah on Pei Aleph. The Mishnah on Pei Aleph brings us the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Bamed dvar mamurin." Let's just read the Mishnah inside. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Bamed dvar mamurin. Be yeruv etchom abal. Be yeruv echateres marvim. Be ladas. Be shalolados. Okay, so the Mishnah brings in, and we've gone over this position already a number of times. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that when it comes to eruv chateros, no consent is required. All I need to do, if I want to sponsor the food for everyone in the community, I may do so, and I don't need anybody's consent. The reason why? The principle of Zachem Adam Shalab Befanav. That if what I'm going to do is create a benefit for you, I can create the benefit for you even without your consent. Now, if that benefit is going to have liability, so then I need your consent. But if it's pure benefit, so then I don't need your consent. That is the ruling of Rav Yehuda. So over here in our Mishnah, what a funny Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that if I have new people moving into the community, so they need to sign some sort of consent form for the Erev Chatzeres. So the Gemara is just making a very simple observation. Our Mishnah and the Mishnah on Pei Aleph later on this morning don't agree with one another. And to that, all that, the Gemara says, Pshita dechalukin. Okay, good. But that's pretty obvious. Meaning when all said and done, I read our Mishnah and I see the Mishnah later on, we could have figured it out. So, Ma'ad Tema Hani Mila Bechatzer Shemain Shnei Mavos, Avachatzer Shal Mavu Yechad Eim Alau Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, well, I might have thought the following. So maybe our Mishnah could be going like Rav Yehuda, and maybe our Mishnah over here is where we're dealing with an ambiguous scenario, where let's say it's a center chatzer, where it opens up to two separate Mavuis, and perhaps we don't know which Mavui they would prefer. And by us making an error for them, we're basically drawing them to this Mavui as opposed to the other Mavui. And maybe that's what our Mishnah means, and maybe our Mishnah is talking about in an ambiguous scenario where it's not exactly clear what would be better to them. That's why they have to sign some sort of consent form or verbal agreement in terms of contribution to the Erev. Maybe you could have understood our Mishnah that way. And the Gemara says, don't do that. Meaning, stick with the simple pshat of our Mishnah. The simple pshat of our Mishnah requires a consent. The Mishnah payoff does not require consent when it comes to Erev Chatzeros. And as we'll see later on, the halach is like Rav Yehuda, no consent is required. And again, we all knew that because no one called us up and asked us, hey, is it okay if we add you to the Erev Chatzeros?
Let me say that some Mishnah is Rav Yossi here.
We did suggest that. I don't know if that was I don't know if that was consensus. Okay. I'm sorry. Kamahu shiuro, kamahu merubin. Okay, so now the Gemara asks the simple question, the obvious question. Our Mishnah says, how much you have to contribute to the Eir Chatzeres? It depends. If it's merubin, so then 2 meters total. If it's muatin, if it's a small community, so then everyone has to contribute a grogris. A grogris literally means fig. In this case, it doesn't mean fig. It means volume of a fig. Either way, so what do the words merubin muatin mean in terms of numbers? Let's quantify. I'm Rav Yehuda Meshmul, Shmona Esrei B'nei Adam, Shmona Esrei V'Sulo, Eima Mi Shmona Esrei V'Eilech. Okay, so the Gemara says 18. 18 is a magic number. 18 also is a cap of wives that a king is allowed to have, although I think the two halachas are totally unrelated, I think. But the but 18 is the magic number. Once your community is greater than 18, 18 people, by the way, right? Shmona Esrei B'nei Adam. I mean, I'm not really sure if we're talking about 18 homeowners. Okay, either way, 18 is the magic number. Once you've exceeded over 18, so at that point in time now, you are considered meruba, which means that you have to only give shtei seudas for everybody. And why 18? Meaning, what's the magic behind the number 18? The number 18, because when I take shtei seudos and I divide shtei seudos, each person is going to be receiving one grogris. So once you've exceeded 18, so now no longer are we going to be able to say that 2 meals are going to be subdivided to a grogris per person. So then the kula, the leniency of just simply two flat meals, and that would be it for everybody. And oh, by the way, as a matter of fact, 2 meals breaks down into 18 grogris. That's just another little idea that we learned from our Mishnah. Okay? And by the way, so now let's just plug that into practical halacha. Meaning now we're making an error for the entire Boca community. Right? So obviously we're merubin. I mean, obviously. So now all we need is shtei seudos for the entirety. Okay? They use, generally speaking, a box of matzah, but a box simply because it's sealed up, so you're right, it preserves a little bit better. Not that matzah really needs any type of real preservation. Okay. Okay, so far so good. We are now nearly done with the perek. We have today's daf to go. We have daf pei aleph and a little bit of pei beis. But we're nearly done a little bit more in terms of the process of eruv chatzeres. What foods do you use? Now, if I ask that question, hopefully what you're thinking is, didn't we cover this earlier in the Masechta? And when I say earlier, I mean really earlier, the first Mishnah of the third perek. First Mishnah of the third perek, if you look back to Daf Chavav Amad Beis, so there, B'choma Arvin Mishadfin Chutz Min HaMelech. I'm not reading this Mishnah right now. I'm going to get to it. But I'm reading a Mishnah of days gone by. Right? The Mishnah on Daf Chavav Amad Beis says that you can make an eruv with any food except for salt and water. Although, that Mishnah in context is not talking about Eruv Chatzeres. That Mishnah in context is talking about Eruv Tchum. Okay? And I told you, Rashi back when said that it's also talking about Eruv Chatzeros. But if you remember, we've gone through this before. Tosfos over there says can't be, because we know Eruv Chatzeros has to be bread. Okay. So hold all that information in your head while we now read our Mishnah on Daf Pei Amud Beis. B'chol ma'arvin u'mishtatfin chutz min amayin min amalch divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So our Mishnah first introduces us to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, which is that you could make an Eruv or a Shituf with what sounds like any food. That's a simple pshat of our Mishnah, except for water and for salt. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, our Mishnah is clearly talking about Eruv Chatzeros. I say that with confidence, because contextually, that's where we are. We're in the seventh parak of Eruvin. We have been dealing from the beginning of the parak with Eruv Chatzeros. We have been dealing in the sixth parak with Eruv Chatzeros, meaning we know in context, we're talking about Eruv Chatzeres. So it's a little bit funny that Rabbi Eliezer says that you could use whatever food you want, when we thought it was just a flat rule that you could only use bread for Eruv Chatzeres. So stay with me as we're going to come back to that point in just a moment. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Kikar Hu Eruv. Rav Yehoshua says it has to be a loaf of bread. The key, according to Rav Yehoshua, is not that it has to be a loaf of bread, that we knew it. In other words, it always has to be bread for the Erev Chatzeros, but it has to be a kikar. It has to be a full loaf of bread. Now, it could be humongous. Ma'afesa'a just is referring to a large loaf of bread made with a sa'a of wheat. I'd like to try to give us an idea of how much volume we're talking about over here. Sa'a is a large measurement. Yeah? 144 eggs?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. It's a lot. It's a large loaf, and the point is that if it's not shlema, if it's not a full loaf of bread, you can't make an erev with that. However, kikar, ki'isar, if it's a tiny loaf of bread, the size of a coin, that's fine. Vu shalem, as long as it's shalem, arvin bas, you can make an erev with a full loaf of bread, regardless of the size. Tanina chadazimna, now the Gemara is going to say, wait a second. We have a Mishnah here in the seventh parak of Erevin. We also had the first Mishnah of the third parak of Erevin. Sounds almost identical to one another. Tanina chadazimna, the Gemara says, we already learned this at one point, which is, b'chol ma'arvin ha'mashatvin chutzman ha'manim o'melech, that you can make an Erev with nearly anything except for water and salt. So, sorry. Our Mishnah here, on Pei Aleph, on Pei Aleph, versus the Mishnah on Chavav. Amar Rabba la'afuke mid Rav Yehoshua. Damar kikar in midach rina lo. So, the first attempted explanation is, you see the Mishnah all the way back in the third parak of Erevin, that Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehoshua. Meaning, our Mishnah here, Rabbi Yehoshua, says bread and only bread. And the Mishnah previously says you could use whatever you want. So that Mishnah over there is not going like Rabbi Yehoshua. So, Kamash Malan, I'm sorry. Amar Rav Lafukim and Rav Yeshua, Amar Kikar in Midach Rina Lo, Kamash Malan Bechol. Okay. Eisve Abai, Bechol Ma'arvin, Erev Chetzeres, Bechol Meshachfin, Shitufin Mavos, Velo Amru La'arev Bepas, Ella Bechatzer Bilvad. So, Man Shamalei, Damar Pas in Midach Rina Lo, Rav Yehoshua. Now, the Mishnah that we just quoted says that the only thing that you can use Erev Chetzeres is bread. And we know bread, oh, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehoshua. Viktani bakol. And then look at the very beginning of the Mishnah that we just quoted. It says, bechol. Bechol ma'arvin and bechol ma'shatvin. So basically what the Gemara is trying to point out is, just because the Mishnah starts off with the words bakol, and it usually means everything, everything doesn't mean everything. Everything just simply means expansive. Meaning it's more than one type. But it doesn't have to be any food. It could just simply mean more than one type of bread. Ela ama rabba barbachana lafuke mid Rav Yehoshua da amar shlema in prusa lo kamash malan bechol prusa. So the Gemara says, so that Mishnah that we talked about much earlier, it says bechol ma'arvin is not necessarily against Rav Yehoshua. It could be that for Erev Chatzeros it has to be bread. The only point of disagreement could be whether or not it has to be a shlema, or it can even be a prusa. Okay, so good. So now, and that could very well be, in other words, now when you look back at our Mishnah says, b'chol ma'arvin ha'mashatvin chutz min ha'manim min ha'melech, v'r Rabbi Eliezer, it could be that Rabbi Eliezer also agrees to the point. It has to be bread. And the only point of disagreement could be whether or not it has to be a shlema, or it could even be a prusa, it could even be a slice of bread. Now, that bothers me. Meaning, why doesn't right? That bothers me. And furthermore, if I can also get it all off my chest right now, right. Also, meaning, if we're only talking about bread, why does the Mishnah say chutz min ha'mayim min ha'melech? Right. Meaning that sounds like all foods except for salt and water, which now what the Gemara is interpreting is all breads. As long as, you know, and it could even be a prusa, so then why the exclusion of salt and water when we're only talking about bread? So maybe
Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua aren't arguing here about what it is, but you know, we're not going to hold with Rabbi
Eliezer. Right.
But when you go back to the Mishnah before, and you said, well, you compare Rabbi Yeshua to both of them.
Right. Okay, yeah, when all said and done, I'm also not, I don't fully get it, but okay, but that's where we stand right now. Where we stand on the Gemara is, Everyone is in agreement that it has to be bread for Erev Chatzeros. It's just a question of whether or not we could use broken pieces, or it has to be whole loaves of bread. The halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. It has to be a whole loaf of bread. It has to be a shlema. My time. So, Uprusa my time alone. So, the Gemara now wants to know, what's behind Rabbi Yeshua? Meaning, so every one of us now, if we're all living in one chatzer, have to contribute, and it's got to be bread, and it's got to be a loaf of bread. It's got to be an entire loaf. Why? So, I'm Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul, I'm a Rabbi Mishum Eva. And the Gemara says, because of animosity. Okay, it's very easy to consider this point of Eva. Think about the following, meaning everybody here is making a contribution. Meaning basically Erev is not a suggested contribution, but a required donation from every member of the Chatzar. Now just think about it, where right, you come in and you bring something which is nice and exquisite, an entire loaf of bread, and somebody comes in, reaches into the pocket, takes out some crumbs, and puts it right into the basket. There we go, there's my contribution. And needless to say, that, in other words, I understand that we should all be, you know, nice to one another and kind to one another, but, listen, we're also human beings, we're also, you know, hardwired in a certain way, and if I see that's what you're contributing, when meanwhile I went through the trouble of making a whole loaf of bread, so, it's just going to create ill will between the members of the Chatzar. So therefore, standardize. Standardize the giving. The giving has to be a loaf of bread for everybody. Now, granted, by the way, there could still be discrepancies in terms of size, in terms of quality. Understood. There's still some individualization of what you're going to give, but at least everybody's got to give a loaf of bread, and that'll reduce. I don't know if it's going to remove, but it's going to reduce the amount of Eva between the members of the community. So the Gemara has, I'm sure, there are communities who would think in this type of way. How about we all agree? Look, in other words, let's make it easier for all of us. Let's all agree that we're going to give a prusa this year. Great, no animosity. So the Gemara says it's not going to work. Amalei shem yachzor davla kilkulo. So the Gemara says very dismissively, it's just simply not going to work. It's going to get back to kilkul. And as Rashi explains, what's going to end up happening is there's still going to be your diehards who are going to still contribute with a whole loaf of bread, and then the animosity will once again resume. So therefore, the gzerah chachamim of Erev, as I should say rather, the takanas chachamim of Erev, is rather everyone has to contribute a whole loaf. I'm Rav Yochanan ben Shaul, nit lahimenu kedei chalasa. Okay, I get this question every now and then in my own home, and that is the following. So there's this requirement of shlema. It has to be a whole loaf of bread. At what point is it no longer considered shlema? Okay, right. And by the way, we know the halacha of shlema very well because every Shabbos meal, you have to not only need bread, but you need shlemos. In fact, on Shabbos, you need two. You need two loaves of bread. So at what point exactly is it not considered a shlema? A little piece breaks off. Is it not a shlema? A baby bites into the bread. Is it not considered a shlema? Yes, that actually happened with me. So is it not considered a shlema? So at what point exactly is it not considered a shlema? So the Gemara now is going to explain. I'm Rav Yochanan ben Shaul, nit lahimenu kedei chalasa, ukedei dimua ma'arvin lo ba. So the Gemara here really speaks in terms of percentages. First, let's deal with dimua. That's the easiest one to deal with. The dimua is 1%. We know that if I have truma and chulin, they get mixed up together. Unless the ratio between chulin and truma is 1 to 100. Okay, I know that's always confusing when you hear that because you hear numbers 1 to 100. No, one, the number one, to the number of 100. So unless that's the ratio, we're always going to say that the chulin is no longer chulin. It's chulin mixed with truma. The truma still has its status as truma, and we call that dimua. Who's allowed to eat such a mixture? Not non-Kohanim. Only Kohanim can eat such a mixture. So in other words, basically, that's 1%. Well, I mean, I understand 1 to 100 is a little bit more than 1%, but basically, if it's 1 to 99, it's still going to be considered dimua. So that's 1%. So if 1% of the loaf breaks off, that's still a shlema. I know that's not a lot. The Gemara also says, kedei chalasa. Kedei chalas, when you're mafrish chala. Now, nowadays, when we're mafrish chala, so we don't really talk in percentages because we don't give it to the Kohen. We break it off now and we burn it. But in the good old days, when we gave it to the Kohanim, so we had to take off a percentage. What percentage do we take off? It depends. If you're a professional baker, so the Chachamim were a little more makel with you because they understood this is your livelihood, so therefore you only need to take off 1/48. Just for the purposes of our discussion, I'm going to call that 2%. I know it's not exactly 2%, but it's a nice round number to deal with. If you're a Bala Bias, if you're a homeowner and you're baking bread in the comfort of your own home, 1/24. Again, just for our purposes, I'm going to call that 4%. Okay, I'm rounding. So basically, the statement made by Rav Yochanan ben Shaul is, if 1% breaks off, or Kidei Chala breaks off, so then it's still considered Shlema. Now the Kidei Chala can go one of two ways. The Kidei Chala could be the Kidei Chala of the baker, or the Kidei Chala of the homeowner. Obviously, I mean, if you wanted to be more lenient, you would want the shear of the homeowner, which is already 4%. So the Gemara clarifies, "Va'atani kidei dimur ma'arvin lo ba, kidei chalas ein ma'arvin lo ba, lo kasha ha bechalas nachtom, ha bechalas balabais." The Gemara quotes another brisa, and the other brisa says that kidei nachtom it's considered a prusa. Sorry, kidei chala it's considered a prusa. So the Gemara clarifies and says, "Well, the Gemara says it depends. If it's the amount that a homeowner is supposed to take off to give to the Kohen, if that much comes off the challah, which is 4%, so then it's no longer considered a shlema, it's now considered a prusa. If only the amount of kedei challah that the baker has to take off, which is 2%, so then that is still considered a shlema. To say it simply, 1 and 2%, it's still a shlema. 4% that breaks off the challah, it's now considered a prusa. Okay, I know, by the way, especially on the Shabbos, it's very hard to measure exactly how much came off, but, you know, this is your basic ballpark idea. And by the way, there's a lot of missing space between 4% and 2%, but those are the numbers the Gemara is giving us. Did not, and then the Gemara just simply quotes the Mishnah in Chala, Shir Chala Echad Me'esrim Va'arba, Ho'osei Isas La'atzmo Ve'isas La'mishta, B'no Echad Me'esrim Va'arba. If you're making bread for yourself and you're making bread for your child, you have to take off 1/24th. Again, approximately 4%. Nachtom shuos alimkor b'shuk v'chenayish shas alimkor b'shuk echad me'arba'im u'shmona. If you're making commercial bread, I mean that literally, bread for commerce. If you're making commercial bread, so then it's 1/48, which is approximately 2%. Again, a leniency given to the baker, so that he gets to retain some of the profits for himself. Amar Rav Chista. Next topic of discussion. In the world of Shlema, let's say the challah breaks. Okay, some emotion around the broken challah. Okay, it happens. So how about this now? A little reconstructive surgery on the challah. Okay, so with reconstructive surgery, so we're going to get now our tools, and that is going to be a simple toothpick. And what we're going to do now is we're going to put the toothpick through the broken piece and the Shlema. And there we have it now. Surgery is now done. Okay. Now, you think I'm joking when I say all this, and I'm really not. Meaning, as we're going to see in the Gemara, this is totally allowed, with a certain condition. Amar chista tafra b'kiseim ma'arvin lo ba. If I stitch it up with toothpick, so then you can make an eruv with it. Meaning, it's still considered a shlema. And I'm venturing to say, by the way, it's my assumption. I don't know why... You would argue otherwise, although you could, that whatever we say shlema for Erev, it also would be shlema vis-a-vis Shabbos. So v'hatanya ein ma'arvin lo ba, so the Gemara says, yeah, but the Brisa says that reconstructive surgery does not work. Lo kasha had yidit tifrei, had lo yidit tifrei. So the Gemara says it matters whether it's seamless or seemly. Okay? And if it's seamless, meaning that after surgery, you show it to somebody and say, hey, right? How does it look to you? Looks good. Okay? Did you know that it was broken? No. Didn't even notice. So if it's a seamless stitching, So seamless reconstruction, so then that would be considered shlema. If it's seemly, where it's very clear that this was broken and the plastic surgeon of the house did a pretty lousy job, so then it's not going to serve as a shlema. I'm Reb Zera, I'm Reb Shlomo Arvin, Bepasores. As I mentioned earlier, the definition of bread when it comes to making an Erev Chatzeros is a little bit looser than what we normally call bread. You could use rice bread. Over past dochen, you could use millet bread. The Gemara quotes an Amara who says, no, I heard differently from Shmuel. Rice bread is okay, millet bread is not okay. The Gemara quotes in the name of Rav, you could use lentil bread. The Gemara notes that during the years of Mar Shmuel, they had lentil bread. They gave it to the dog. The dog refused to eat it. So how can you tell me that lentil bread could serve as your Erev Chatzeros when not even the dog is ready to eat it? The Gemara says, no, you don't understand. That wasn't lentil bread. That was multigrain. Now, I know in today's day and age, multigrain is really popular. But over here, the Gemara means that basically it's a hodgepodge of grains that are put together in order to make bread. In fact, I know it's very popular nowadays. They have what's called Ezekiel bread. I don't know if anyone here is a consumer. Yeah. But and the Gemara, and the reason why it's called Ezekiel bread is because there's a pasuk in Yechezkel that actually describes how a whole bunch of grains are put together, kind of like, you know, pounded together in order to make this Ezekiel bread, this bread. We're going to learn in today's daf. It's great. I know in today's time, Ezekiel bread is like very in. It's like very like healthy. We're going to learn today's daf. It's probably the worst bread imaginable. So, you know.
Yes. Going back to the pieces, when is that procedure being done? Before Shabbat or on Shabbat?
I assume it can be done even on Shabbos itself. I know, but it's bread. It's not. I think, you know, I could look into it a little bit more and see if I'm wrong, but I can't imagine. But anyway, so the pasuk in Yechezkel, this is it. The pasuk that describes this type of bread that's kind of put together, made up together of a hodgepodge of a whole bunch of different grains. And so the Gemara says, that's what the dog refused to eat. The dog refused to eat the Ezekiel bread. But if it's just pure lentil bread, that's fine. That's edible. So in other words, basically, what our Gemara is telling us, that for Erev Chatzeros, it does have to be bread, but we're looser in terms of what our definition of bread is. Rice bread's fine. Lentil bread is fine. Millet bread, which I don't even know what millet is. I know we see it all the time in the Gemara. Whatever, it's another type of quasi-grain, right? Rice-like grain, but I don't know much about it. I don't know anything about it. So anyway, that's debatable whether that's okay. And then this last bread that was just described, that the dogs don't even eat that bread. That obviously won't work. Rav Papa Amar, he sluya b'tzoras ha'adam havai. Rav Papa gives another explanation why, during the years of Shmuel, the bread that was given to the dog wasn't even eaten by the dog. It says that the fuel that was used to bake that bread was human excrement. Dechziv, v'hi begal ha'tzoras ha'adam, te'agna le'enehem. Okay, and again, going back to the pasuk in Yechezkel, that's why it is such a disastrous bread. Mai ve'ugatz orim tochlena. As long as we're here in this pasuk in Yechezkel, the Gemara just spent a quick moment darshaning the pasuk. I'm Rav Chista lishiurim, meaning what Yechezkel is forecasting is that there will come a point in time where there's going to be such a famine that we're going to have to measure out the bread because there'll be such a scarcity of food. Rav Papa Amar. Okay, a question of what the actual gears of the Gemara is. It's either areva or arichat. Either way, the point is still the same basic point, is that it just doesn't present well. Meaning that the bread that Yechezkel was talking about, in other words, the wheat bread, presents itself very well, it's shaped very nicely, and the bread that Yechezkel was describing does not have a nice shape to it, and it just doesn't present well. Right, presentation of food. I'm sure we're all familiar with the basic idea. Okay. Ad Kan, that takes us now through the Amud Aleph of Pei Aleph. So again, what comes out from here is the following, that number one, and when it comes to Erech Hatzeres, it has to be bread. The Gemara says that's universally accepted. All Tanaim accept the idea that it has to be bread. The only thing that's up for debate and discussion is whether the bread has to be a Shlema or has to be a Perusa. The Halach is like Rabbi Yoshua, it has to be a Shlema. Why? So the Gemara says because of Eva, because of animosity. If not everyone's contributing a whole loaf of bread, and somebody's just handing a couple of crumbs and saying, here's my Erev, so then that would engender animosity between the participants of the chatzar. So therefore, everyone's got to give a whole loaf. It's a way of just trying to standardize the giving. And then the Gemara says the ways of at what point is it no longer considered a shlema, and what can we do in terms of surgery? You know, makeshift surgeon if in fact the bread falls apart. Okay. Nosin adam ma'alach en vani olanachtam kidei sheyizgalo erev divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So now we know that going into every Shabbos, I got to contribute to the Erech Hatzeres. So, and that means, of course, that I'm going to need bread. I got a really simple suggestion. Okay, how about this? Go to the baker, local baker, and say, "Here's some money." Okay, and you'll give on my behalf. Okay, so sounds good. Meaning in that, I mean, I understand you're going to go home for that Shabbos, you're going to make bread for yourself for Shabbos, but for the contribution of the Erech Hatzeres, it's really simple. You go to the baker and you hand him a couple of quarters and say, "Here, contribute on my behalf." So, Rabbi Eliezer says, "That's fine. That works." You go to the Chenvani, you go to the Nachtam, and you say, "Here's money, and acquire on my behalf bring bread on my behalf." So Rabbi Eliezer says, "It's fine." The Chachamim Omrim Lo Zachu Lo Ma'usav. And the Chachamim say, no, it does not work. Now, yeah, so obviously the question is, well, why not? Well, let's start with Rashi. Lo zachu lo ma'osav, Rashi on the very bottom of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. And Rashi writes, she'ein ma'os konos, ad she'imshoch. Because Rashi says it's a technical issue. We know that to make a kinyan, to actually become the de facto owner of any item, you need a ma'isa kinyan. Now, you've gone through enough Gemara, you'll know it's an odd conclusion, but it is the conclusion. Money by itself doesn't work.
For metalton,
that's an excellent correction, and that's correct. Meaning for land, money works. But for metalton, and we're talking about bread right now, so money by itself does not work. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later on in the daf, why money by itself doesn't work. But it doesn't. So in other words, so how do I become the owner? So I have to do a ma'isa kinyan, an act of acquisition. In the world of metalton, that's usually mashicha. Take the item and draw it to me. Sometimes hagbah, sometimes mesira, okay, whatever, but it's got to be a ma'isa kinyan. So over here, what happened is, all there was just a transfer of money. And that's simply not enough. You now do not become the owner of the bread. She'ein ma'os konos ashim shach. Ve'afilo ira ve'chan vani hazeh l'chola echerim v'zichem gamazeh. And Rashi goes on, and Rashi says, and let's say this baker understands his role in the community. His role in the community is that he donates the bread to every member of the community. And so he does that, and he includes you. It's still not going to work, says Rashi. Because by you giving the baker money, you're clearly indicating, I don't want gifts. Meaning, you want a gift to other members of the community, that's fine. I don't want a gift. So you kind of like handcuffed yourself. Because on one hand, you could have just simply been the recipient of a gift. But by you handing money, you're demonstrating, I don't want a gift. I want to be the proud owner of my contribution to the Eruv. Problem is, you aren't the proud owner, because all that happened was a transfer of money, and you didn't do the Mashiach. So if Rashi writes, "Kishar mizakim be'erav ela lignos ama v'arei eino kunu yelo dekev demaos eino konos lo samcha daite dahai v'lo have daite la'aknuye v'nimtza ma'arev lo b'maosav shelo midato." Okay, and so therefore, as a result of that, it's not your bread. Okay, so that is the explanation of the Chachamim. It's really just a technical point, is that it's not yours. top of Pei Aleph Amud Beis Umodim B'Shar Kol Adam Shezach Lo Ma'usav She'ein Ma'arvin La'adam Ela Midato. As Rashi points out, the Gemara is going to spell this line of the Mishnah out. This is no longer talking about a baker or a chenvani. This is talking about a baal bais. When we get to the Gemara, we'll work on that line in the Mishnah. We'll come back to it.
Why can't you do it?
We'll come back to it. Amar Rav Yehuda, b'medvar mamorim be'eruvei tchomem, aval be'eruvei chatzeros ma'arvin ladatov, shalol ladatov l'fisha zachon la'adam shalol b'fanav, ve'in chavin la'adam shalol b'fanav. I mentioned earlier this morning, we're going to come back to Rav Yehuda, here it is. The Mishnah over here presents the position of Rav Yehuda, which is that this idea that I need consent on behalf of the person on behalf of the residents of the Eruv, that's by Eruv Tchom. That's not by Eruv Chatzeres. Why? Again, we've gone over this idea already a number of times. It's a very basic idea to the Eruv Chatzeres, which is, by Eruv Chatzeres, it's all upside, there is no downside. Right? By me contributing, or somebody else contributing on my behalf, I now can carry from my house to the Chatzer. And there's nothing, I simply have nothing to lose. It's all gain and no loss, so therefore, somebody could do it for me without my consent. Eruv Tchum, on the other hand, I'll be able to walk at a longer distance to the east, but for every Amma I gain in the east, I lose an Amma in the west. So in other words, with every gain of Eretz Chumen, there's also going to be a loss. If something creates for you a gain and a loss, so then I need consent on the part of the person who I'm doing it on behalf of. Okay, very simple rule. This is the rule of Zachon L'Adam Shalom B'Fanav, but only if it's all zechus. If it's zechus and chova, then you can't do it. So our Rabbi Yehuda says that when our Mishnah is talking about consent on behalf of the owner, that's only for Eruv Tchum, but not for Eruv Chatzeros. Okay, my time is the Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara now wants to know, what's the reason? Halamashach. Meaning, after now understanding the sheet of the Chachamim in our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer really is now on the defensive. Because Rabbi Eliezer says that if you hand the baker money, so now you have successfully contributed to the Eruv. No, you haven't. Meaning that bread is not yours. You didn't do a Mashicha. So now what? So, She'ein Marav L'Adam, I'm sorry. At my time, Rabbi Eliezer, Halo Mashach, Am Rav Nachman, Am Rav Baravua, Aso Rabbi Eliezer, Kidalet Prakim Bishana. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer treats this no differently than four times of the year. Four times of the year? What do we mean? Did not, let's see the Mishnah in Chulin. Bedal prakim elu mashkitan asatavach, bal karcho, afilu shur shava elav dinar, v'ein lelokech ela dinar echad, kofen oso lishchot. Lefichach imes meis lelokech. Okay. Four times a year where, you know, as a butcher, there's going to be a large customer base. Meaning there's an automatic demand that's created during the four times a year. Four times a year, by the way, are basically Yantif. Okay? Every Erev Yantif. Okay, not every Erev Yantif, but basically. Most Erev Yantifs. Okay? What's out of the... Sukkah, right? Sukkah? Right? Everyone's too busy. Right? Coming to me for Lulav and Esrog. Okay, gratuitous plug. Okay, but we're within the 6 month period before Sukkot, so it's fair. It's fair. So but during those four times a year, okay, you're a butcher. Now, as a butcher, by the way, it's always tricky when someone comes to you and says, "Hi, I'd like to buy meat," because as a butcher, we're not talking about the butcher we go to, but in other words, I'm talking about a real butcher, meaning the guy who actually has animals on his. On his back lot, and he's going to actually shech you an animal. You see, because once he shechs an animal, so that animal has a very short shelf life. So he would like to know, as the butcher, that I have enough people buying from this meat, so that if and when I shech this animal, so I'm not going to lose money. So during the rest of the year, someone comes over to you and says to you, "Hi, I'd like to buy a leg of lamb." Leg of lamb? Okay, find me three other customers. Actually, find me like 10 other customers. Put a buying group together and then come to me. I'm not shechting an animal for a simple leg of lamb, that's ridiculous. However, during the four times of the year, because you know that the demand is so high, so someone comes over to you and says to you, "Hi, I'd like to buy a leg of lamb," you have to shecht. Meaning the chachamim point their finger at you and say, "You now have to shecht." Oh, but wait a second. All I got is one buyer? Don't worry. There will be people waiting in line behind them. You may not see them right now, but they're there. And so therefore you have to shecht. And all he has to do is give you money, and he has now acquired that leg of lamb. Even before he actually did the Mashicha, he's already acquired the leg of the lamb. So, now, how exactly does that work? So again, let's go back to that Mishnah. Lefichach imeis meis lokeach. So the Mishnah says, consequentially, that means the following. Let's say the animal dies without a shechita. Okay? So now we have a large pile of dog food. Okay? I mean, that's because it's an avela. In other words, so who's going to suffer that loss? So the one who gave the money and already bought it is now going to be the proud owner of that piece of nevela. So meis lokeach alamashach amar Rav Huna b'shemashach. So Rav Huna says, well, the Mishnah is talking about where he did a Mashiach already. And the Gemara says, no, he didn't do a Mashiach, because look at the rest of the Mishnah. The rest of the Mishnah says that outside the 4 days of the year, I write these Erev Yontifs, so if the animal dies, it's the butcher who's going to suffer the loss because no Mashiach was done. So it must be that no Mashiach was done. So if no Mashiach was done, the obvious question, how did he acquire it? So he did a zichus. In other words, through another person, he was mekabel it on behalf of the buyer. So bedal prakim elo dezchusu lo zachin lo shelo befanav. Now during the 4 days of year, does he want to buy the meat? He sure does. Everybody's buying meat. It's a mitzvah to buy meat during Yontif. Right? Simcha. Simcha's basa v'yayin. So therefore, we understand that for every person going into Yontif, it's a zechus. So therefore, the butcher can basically make the transfer of the meat to the buyer. Even if the buyer himself didn't do a mashicha. B'shayim ha'shana d'chovu lo ein chavan lo ela befana. But during the rest of the year, it's not an absolute zechus, meaning yes, you're getting meat, but you're also right. But you're paying for it, but you're losing money. So it's not an automatic zechus. So therefore, I cannot do an automatic transfer for this individual. Okay, so that's pshat number one. Let's just go through pshat number two, and we'll finish off. Rav Ilam, Rav Yochanan, Bedal Prakim Elo, Amidu Chacham, and Divrei Amal Divrei Torah. We can give another pshat, and that is the following. It's not radically different. I mean, it is different, but in other words, it ends in the same result. During the four times of year, maos konos. Meaning, Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that min ha-Torah, maos is an effective way of transferring. It's just a rabbinic institution that money by itself doesn't create a transfer. During these 4 days of the year, in order to make sure that there is a seamless buy and sell of meat between butcher and consumer. So what the Chachamim said is we're going to go back to Divrei Torah, and money's going to be the vehicle of creating the transfer during the Dalet Prakim Bishana.
We're going to begin davening now. Please make your way to locations.
It's exciting. So the Hamidu Chachamim Divrei Amal Divrei Torah. The Amar Rav Yochanan Dvar Torah Maos Karnos. The Rav Yochanan says that in the Torah money is effective. Umei ma amru Mashicha Kona. So then why did the Chachamim insist that Mashiach be done? Gzeres Shema Yomalo, Nisruchi Techa Ba'aliyah. It is the Chachamim's way of protecting the buyer. The buyer is going to go ahead and buy goods. And if we go back to the Din Torah of just money being effective, so that means that the buyer didn't take it home. Let's say now the warehouse is on fire. The seller will say, look, as far as the actual warehouse is concerned, I have a fantastic insurance policy. As far as the goods inside the warehouse, it's not mine, it's yours. Okay, so he will do nothing heroic in terms of stopping the fire. So as a way of protecting the consumer, so therefore the Chachamim said that even though money works, you need to do a Mashiach in order to acquire. That's during the rest of the year. But during the Dal Prakim, but during the 4 days of the year, because again of the high traffic, the high volume of buy and sell, so therefore the Chachamim went back to the Divrei Torah, and therefore Maos Merkonos. So again now, trying to go back now to our Mishnah, understanding the Mishnah in Erevin, where Rabbi Eliezer says that all you do is give your money to a Chanvani, and that will work, even though you didn't do a Mashiach. How do you understand the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer? Now, by the way, the halacha does not follow like Rabbi Eliezer. The halacha follows like the Chachamim. You need to do a Mashiach. But at least let's understand what's behind Rabbi Eliezer. The answer is that Rabbi Eliezer treats the purchase of your Erev from the Nachtom just like the Dal Prakim B'Shana. Just like the Chachamim lifted the Mashiach requirement during the 4 days of the year, so too the Chachamim lifted the Mashiach requirement for the purchase of the Erev. That's at least the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, and the Chachamim disagree, and they say no, that there no extension of the...
Isn't it being more meikle also than Endless Erev, so it's being more meikle in general?
True, but it's also Rabbi Eliezer. So, you know, they gotta... It's like competing... competing.
They're also talking about shuls. So the shuls has shuls, so it means...
Correct. Agreed. I'm with you on that. All right. Okay. Continue. Refuah Shlema for Binyamin Zevakon Ben Shimon Rivka for Rafals like Avram Ben Yakir Abigail for Malka Basara and Leilu Nishmas Rav Yaakov Ben Yosef. I'm sorry. For Refuah Shlema for Leisara by Malka Fega. Rav Chaim Ben Akash Amar Zekosh Baruch Lezaki Zol Ficha Chir Ben Tor Mitzvah Shenemar Nachafetz Amantzikol Yadot Rav Yadir.